let me in. Shiba shiba, I wanna be closer to you. Shiba shiba, open up your soul. Shiba shiba, let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. I got to enjoy something a little while ago. I randomly listened to music that was sent to me and it was so good. I was like, yeah, I want them on the show. So they are here for, they're doing their very first American tour, here to talk about it. I think it's called Balthus. Hello.
Hey.
So why don't you all introduce yourselves so that I don't horribly mangle your names? Uh-oh, we've lost them. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to wait for them to call back. I bet modern technology has thwarted them. Are you still there?
Back.
You're back. Yay.
Back.
All right.
Sorry, guys. We're right here. Let's do it again. Okay. How are you, Marilyn?
I'm doing all right. Why don't you all introduce yourselves?
All right, so this is Balthazar right here. I play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
This is Santiago. I play the drums.
Mm-hmm.
This is Joanna. I'm the bass girl.
Excellent. Now, the music that I saw, you guys were on a rooftop somewhere, and I started playing it just to I was like, oh, who's this? And it was so good, I listened to the entire thing. So what rooftop was that?
Oh, that's just a very chill restaurant. It's like a rooftop bar thing in Bogota, Colombia.
Okay. Well, then what I first want to ask is, how did you guys get together as a band? How did you find each other?
Oh, so me and Santi, we had like a psychedelic rock band back in 2017, 2018. And I don't know, things weren't working out so much. We wanted like a more chill sound. So mm-hmm. We ended that band. And then we met Joanna at one of our last concerts. She was playing on her own, doing her little, she was like a singer-songwriter, like a folky, Andean singer-songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And we just clicked immediately. Like, music got us together, now when I think about it. And that's it.
All right. So where have you played before coming to the U.S.?
Pretty much just Colombia. We played Rock al Parque, which is the biggest and one of the oldest music festivals in Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
And after we got a little buzz from that, we started getting invited to South by Southwest. And actually, even though this is one of like our first official big tour, this is our third South by Southwest. So in Austin, we just came from there, and
okay.
We're driving down San Diego right now, heading north, heading towards you guys.
So this is, yeah, because you're going to be here in Berkeley. Well, I'm in San Francisco, but you're going to be nearby in Berkeley at the Cornerstone, which is on 2367 Shattuck, in case you guys get lost along the way. So, but mm-hmm. are you doing, you're just doing a road trip to do your tour?
Yeah. I mean, we have so many dates across the West Coast. We
uh-huh.
started this tour. I mean, we started this tour in Texas, and then we went to Colorado, and now we played yesterday in Hakumba, which is like this little hotel that has hot springs in it. It was beautiful in the south, like an hour away from San Diego. We're playing L.A.
Uh-huh.
tonight. We're playing some Luis Obispo afterward, and then we're going to the Cornerstone in Berkeley.
Very cool, very cool. So for our listening audience who's probably not heard you yet, how would you characterize your music?
So this is kind of disco-y, like psychedelic funky band, and we embrace ourselves like playing also Latin music, you know, like cumbia. We're really love cumbia,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty much it. It's kind of delicious mixture of delicious genre
with a hint of the Middle East.
Oh yeah,
and that's it. And yeah, and that.
So, Joanna, when you joined the band, they said you were already a singer-songwriter. Were you doing the same kind of music, or what type of music were you doing before you met them?
No, most like ambient music, Latin American music, mm-hmm. With acoustic instruments, and more focus in the vocals.
Very cool. Now, for all of you, what drew you toward this ambient sound?
I mean, nowadays, I think it's heavy times, you know? People always talking about climate change and all the things going on the planet and things like that. And it feels kind of stressful. So at least myself, I just wanted to have music that would chill me out, that would relax me a little bit. And I think that's what it's all about, really. Just music that you're doing your thing. You can be having a nice glass of wine with someone, or mm-hmm. just working, and you can put this music and it'll just relax you. It won't get in the way, you know?
So before you guys got together as a band, how long had each of you been making music?
Wow, so we started in 2020. We're like 4 years into the band, and I've been playing since 2012, so like 10 years already. I think Santi,
I've been playing the drums since I was 13 years old, mm-hmm. and now I'm 27, so it's like
a lot. And I learned to play bass in the pandemic, actually, in 2020.
She learned bass for the band. So we've been very, she's amazing how to learn that instrument so fast.
And what kind of audience response do you get?
Oh, it's been very different because in Colombia, people are not very acquainted with this style of music.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, what is this? You know, people don't get it. But out here, the West Coast, in Colorado, in Austin, people are very much in tune to the psychedelic sound, to funky music, to things like that, and they really like it. And I mean, we're so happy about that. So thankful.
So you've mainly performed in Colombia, but you're traveling around the U.S. now. So where have you been so far?
Oh, I mean, in this tour, we've been in Austin. We were there the whole week for South by Southwest. We played Denver, mm-hmm. played Fort Collins. Now we're about to start West Coast, and we're going all the way to Seattle, actually. We're heading north.
Very cool. Now, when you're doing this tour, I mean, you're playing music, but do you get a chance to just chill and actually enjoy the city that you're in, or do you have to, like, hit the road and get to the next place?
So, in Austin, was pretty much, like, just playing all day.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the chance to get to Dallas, to our friend's house. And after Dallas, which is, like, 2 days in Dallas, and then we went to Blankman, which is another friend's house, really, and we could stay like 3 days over there, like just chilling, family, like making lunch, making dinner, you know, like so.
We had a few rest days. Yeah, a few rest days, but now not anymore, though. We're on the road now. We're playing every single day across California, so crazy now.
Wow. So do you know, like, do you have your schedule in front of you, or is it just like you just look on the schedule after you finished a gig and went, okay, now we got to go here?
Yeah, it's pretty much looking at a lot of spreadsheets and looking at load-in times, sound-check times, mm-hmm. and just Airbnb times, and just trying to make it fit in a single day. Like, I have the dates here, like, in case. I know for a fact, I mean, 327 is our show at the Cornerstone. And we're going to be playing there like around 8:30. If you're
good. And I see that. What's the show? Is the show called Jazz Is Dead, or what is that?
Jazz Is Dead is a LA-based promoting company, and they create this. They create experiences. They create musical experiences across the West Coast. And they invite top artists like Roy Ayers, Lonnie Liston Smith, Azimuth, basically jazz legends. And even though we're adjacent to jazz, we were very honored to be invited in this very sort of exclusive sort of experiences. And so they organized with us and with our label, Mixto Records, they organized a set of dates for L.A., for Berkeley, for Portland, and for Seattle. And we couldn't be happier to be working with anyone else. They're absolute professionals, and they pull off some of the best and most memorable concert experiences you can imagine.
Very cool. Very cool. And you've got a new single coming out called Sun and Moon?
We kind of always have a new single coming out. Like, we've been releasing a single every month since we started, basically. So this will be like single number 37. It's called and it's like Aguacero, and it's like we play a lot of instrumental music, some music in English, and every now and then we play a song in Spanish, because we're from Colombia.
Sure.
So this one is more about going back to the roots, and if you like Afrobeat, like Fela Kuti and things like that, it's totally like that kind of style for that song.
Very cool, very cool. So out of the different places that you've played and the different sort of concerts that you've put on, which concert felt the most magical to you?
Wow. I think the three of us can answer a different one. We'll do it real quick. For me, it was Mohawk. We just played at the Mohawk in Austin, Texas.
Uh-huh.
It was our third South by Southwest, so it was the chance to build up an audience in the course of 3 years, getting your name out there, and suddenly getting the spotlight for the first time, and not just playing like in a small bar, but playing like in a very featured, iconic, historical venue that's very big in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just loved it. People were waiting for us that day. That feels so beautiful.
Oh, cool. How about the other two?
I enjoyed tomorrow, last night's show, because it was in this hotel, like in the middle of nowhere, close to the border with Mexico. The landscape was amazing, and it was so intimate.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, I just had so much fun last night.
Very cool.
Yeah, I have two favorites.
Okay.
One is Mohawk 2, like Baltazar. The second was the Parish. Psychedelic venue, really, really awesome. I love the vibe of the people, and I have so much fun in the Parish.
That was also in Austin. That is in South by last week.
Our favorite shows were last week. So. Very cool. So you guys are going to be at the Cornerstone again at the 2367 Shattuck, and then you go. Where do you go after that? I think you go to Chico, right?
We go to Chico, California. We're playing there at Argus, and then we're heading to Oregon. We're going to Portland. We're doing two nights there at Jack London Revue.
And it's sold out. That show sold out.
Yeah. Yes, it was sold out. Tonight we're doing L.A. and at the Lodge Room, and that one sold out as well. And then we're finishing in Barbosa in Seattle.
Very cool, very cool. So are you guys driving even as we speak? Or did you at least pull off?
Yes and no. We have the best driver right now, all the way from Utah, Salt Lake City. Why don't you say hi, Alex?
Hello, my name's Alex.
I'm
hanging out. They're safe and sound. I'm driving, so no worries.
Okay, good.
I mean, Alex is like a pro skier from Salt Lake City. He just wanted to come with the band, and we're here on a road trip across California. Really loving it.
Well, I just have to say, I can't stress enough how much I enjoyed listening to your music, because normally, I get so much, and then I was just like, oh, let me see what this is, and I was like, wow, this is really good, and I just let the whole thing play. So I'm excited that you guys are going to be here in the Bay Area on the 27th, and I know that our listening audience would like a chance to hear more about you. So if people wanted to hear more of your music, where online would they go?
Oh, they would go to Spotify, and they would just go Baltus, and you can find everything there. Everything is there. Also, if you want to buy tickets or something, you would go to Baltus.com, just like that.
Now, when I look at your spelling, I see B-A-L-T-H-V-S. Is that what they would enter?
Yes, it's more like a Latinized, sure, like Roman sort of view. And it was great because that way when you Google search, you only get Balthus. Because like the original Balthus, the name of the band, because there's a French painter called Balthus.
Sure.
And his name is with a U.
Right.
We couldn't do that, so we have to put a V. So that's why, you know, yes.
All right. Well, if you could leave our listening audience with one thought, what would it be?
Oh, man. I would go with our latest single that came out like 2 weeks ago. I would go with Sun and Moon. Sun and Moon. That would be nice.
Sun and Moon. All right. Well, for all of you, I want to thank you all so much for being on the show. And I hope that the drive is safe and uneventful and that your all of your concerts are as fun as your favorite ones.
Thank you so much, Marilyn. Actually, I think it's a very eventful drive. We're just delighting ourselves with the California landscape.
Oh, good.
We can't wait to visit you.
And oh, and then you can compare, like, do you find yourself going into Colombian restaurants to see if they really do Colombia right, or do you just do something different entirely?
Yeah, I think we're doing something different, but that's actually a great idea. I didn't think about it, you know, but I think we're going to do that now, man. That's great.
Excellent.
Thanks for the idea.
Well, Balthazar, Santiago, and Johanna, I want to thank you all three for being on the show, and enjoy playing when you get here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
Yay. Drive safely. All right, people of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check out Balthus. They're going to be at the Cornerstone, and they're going to be rocking you. It's going to be so good, so good, so good. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco, and I'm going to play a little bit of Balthus for you. This is the one they mentioned, Aguacero. So, do stay tuned. Aguacero. And the band is Balthus, which is going to be at the Cornerstone in Berkeley on the 27th. I really enjoyed their music. You're listening to 89.5 FM, KPOO, San Francisco. Who's about to touch your mind right now? Well, Theater Rhino's always got stuff going on, and theaters all over the town always have stuff going on. One of the plays that's about to happen pretty soon is called The Pride of Lions. Here to talk about it is playwright Roger Q. Mason. Hello.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Oh, honey, I'm just grateful to be talking to you. You know, your show is so fabulous, and it's just an honor to be on here.
Oh, that's so sweet. How long have you been a playwright?
I have been telling stories my whole life, and I'm sure you hear that from a lot of playwrights, but quite literally, I've been telling stories since I was a young child, reciting poetry around my grandmother's yellow formica table when I was 2 years old. and I haven't stopped since. If you're looking for a formal number, I'd say I've been in the playwriting business for about 20 years now.
Tell me a little bit about the first time you wrote something down and got kind of noticed for it.
I have to tell you, the very first thing I wrote down was actually a poem when I was about 8 years old, and it was called I Love the Rain, and it won a poetry contest at my school, and my dad made a paperweight out of it. That was a thing back in those days. You would have a marble stone, mm-hmm. and then you could engrave things on it. And my dad had that poem engraved on a paperweight. Oh. That was my first writing experience.
So let me guess, your dad is totally doting.
Very much so. Very much so.
Is your dad kind of like Margaret Cho's parents who, you know, they're like at every show, like, that's, you know, we made that.
My dad is very happy to take credit for me and all of my creations, as proud parents are. You know, he was in show business himself. We're from Los Angeles, but he spent quite a bit of time up in the Bay Area at Berkeley Law School when he was doing his graduate education. Mm-hmm. And he was there in the 60s, too.
Ah.
So our connection to the Bay is very strong and very powerful. And, you know, he started out in L.A., as a showbiz kid. He actually was represented by William Morris.
Oh.
And he was on the Tennessee Ernie Ford show. He did Hell's a Poppin'. I think he did a couple other shows with a troupe down here. And he studied drums as well, worked over at Shelley's Manhole. So he was sort of on his way to becoming a multi-talented artist. And then his mother said, listen, darling, there's only one Sammy Davis Jr., and that seat is taken. Hmm. You better do something practical. And so he went into law.
Aww.
But I tend to think that he lives through me in many ways, and
Aww.
He very much enjoys traveling with me.
Well, that's it's great and sad at the same time, because that
right.
is the constant push-pull with parents, is because your parents want you to have you know, something that's stable and reliable, but sometimes it crushes your dreams.
Well, I think his dream has become to curate and produce with me. And I think he doesn't always recognize that that's what he's doing. In fact, just last night I said, why don't you just admit that we're producing partners? You know, in much the same way that many families, like, you know, Lucille Ball and her family and,
right.
and the Barrymores, you know, and plenty of other families have gone into the business
sure,
together.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Show business requires solidarity. And I think if you can get your family in on the act, who else could you, you know, trust more and rely on? It's a
right,
beautiful thing.
Right. So, before we wrap this portion of it up, you haven't said your dad's name yet.
Oh, his name is Attorney Homer Mason.
Okay.
And he's still doing a couple of consults if people want to call.
Okay. Got to give dad the props. So,
oh, that's right.
All right. So let's talk about The Pride of Lions. What
yes.
is that?
The Pride of Lions is my drag play. I wrote a play almost 10 years ago. I started writing a piece. It was originally called Queer, mm-hmm. and I was interested in writing a play about different manifestations of queerness because
okay.
I was living in Chicago at the time and finally learned that the name for who I was as a gender identity was called gender expansive or gender nonconforming. Now we call it non-binary or gender non-binary. I spent 30 years of my life not knowing what the hell, what in the world to call myself. Mm. And finally, I found this gender neutral bathroom, and it saved my life. I said, oh, that's who I am. I exist in a space between those things.
Mm.
And so I wanted to write a play that celebrated that identity. And I came across a series of scandals surrounding Mae West, who was writing plays about people who lived outside of the gender binary in the 1920s.
Ooh.
And I thought, oh, this is fascinating. What is the story behind the story? And that's how I came up with The Pride of Lions. It's a play about five drag queens who are getting their Broadway debut in her play called The Pleasure Man. And their dreams are crushed when the police come and shut down the show.
Wow.
And they fight for their freedom in jail and come out on top.
Wow, that's like you've said so many things that I want to go down each and every road. So let's start with the Mae West story,
sure.
Which is, so you run across this story about Mae West writing these plays. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yes, yeah, so she wrote a series of plays, Sex, The Drag, and Pleasure Man, which were all dealing with really advanced conversations around sexual identity.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the plays, and they sort of were written one after the other, so they bleed together thematically, they describe a character who feels like they are neither male nor female, but live somewhere in between and are looking for a lover who can embrace that part of themselves.
Okay.
And I thought, ah, even in 1927, 1928, people were gender non-binary and didn't have the language to celebrate themselves. And so Mae West was very ahead of her time in terms of discussing this kind of identity politics. And 100 years later, we're still trying to fight for queer rights in this country.
Wow, I knew about Sex. I hadn't heard of the other two. So
right. So
that gets your creative juices flowing, and
that's right.
You decide to write this play about a play. And
is it
largely based on things you've researched, or is it an imagining of what might have happened?
It's both. It's based on a couple, it's based on a raid of the show, The Pleasure Man, which took place in October of 1929. The police came and shut the show down after the second performance. And then 55 queens were put in jail that night.
Wow.
And so it's based on that. But instead of documenting some of the more well-known queens,
mm-hmm.
I then imagined, well, what about the girls in the back? What about the backup dancers, the people who are just about to get their start? They're not as well known. Who would those people be? And that was a fertile playground for me to imagine these five drag queens who are just about to fly, and then all of a sudden their wings are clipped.
Wow. And so you put the show. So is it largely, like, how would you characterize it? Comedy, musical, dark horse. Well, how would you characterize the show?
You know, it's actually two movements. So the first movement is inspired by a lot of the screwball comedy of that time period.
Mm-hmm.
So the first act takes place in the dressing room. So the girls are spilling tea and throwing shade in 1920s language.
Okay.
And kind of have a couple of gag acts in there. And then when they're in jail, it becomes this sort of like Chicago the Musical type cabaret, because to bide their time and sort of impress the warden to get out, they put on a show for him, hoping that he'll let them out.
And then
there's a third part, an epilogue, that gets quite serious and quite powerful in a new way. And I won't give that away. Let audiences come and see what we've done at the end, because it's new. We're trying something new on this production.
So who are the five drag queens in this production? And who's playing them?
So, you got me on a quiz. You know, I have to admit, I'm in L.A. So let me.
Oh, okay.
So I'm in L.A., but let me.
Well, then you don't have to tell me that. What you can tell me is who are the characters in the play?
I tell you that. Well, there are two officers, and one of them is dating. One of them is dating one of the drag queens, and so when he picks them up, it becomes quite a funny thing. And that character is. that character works for an older gentleman who's sort of simultaneously very conservative but also very curious about queerness. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of from the book Gay New York, where officers would be peeping Toms on queer love affairs, and they'd stare at windows until they saw them in the act. Why would you stare in the window? And then, unless you were interested. And then the five drag queens, we've got Marla Tan, who works on Wall Street. It's played by Patrick Chico. Mm-hmm. And Marla Tan is sort of what we would call a cross-dresser, primarily attracted to women, but finds pleasure in playing outside of their dress code as a man. And then there's Gracie, who's played by Bea Looney. And Gracie might be 16 and might not, and she's a journalist to be. Mm-hmm. And then there's Molasses Jones, who's a sister from Harlem, played by Sean Moore. And she doesn't sing for anybody unless she's paid to. She's sort of based on Ma Rainey and a couple of these other types of that time period. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then there's the older queen, played by Martin DeMartini, named Madame Red Hook, who used to run a cat house in Savannah. And then there's her daughter, Shasta Baby Cakes, played by Frances Domingos. And Shasta is a firebrand because Shasta is kind of like, you remember that movie Victor Victoria?
Yeah.
By Julie Andrews? She's kind of that type, sort of a gender-bending person.
Mm, okay.
And I think I've mentioned them all.
That's
if
five.
If I forgot somebody, I think I apologize.
Oh, no, no worries. Yeah. So you put this all together. Are you coming up for the premiere, or is it something you just have to hear about?
No, I'm going to be up there. I'll be there from, actually, I'm flying out tomorrow, Tuesday, and I'll be there through opening, which is on the 30th of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited. I mean, I haven't seen anything since the first run through. So this is a surprise for me. You know, I sent all the rewrites by email.
Oh.
They all seemed happy with them because they asked a lot of questions and I responded. And so we'll see how they work. But I feel I walked away from that draft that I sent them feeling really proud.
And
I had that sigh of satisfaction. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what they've done with it.
And I live in the neighborhood of Theater Rhino. So when I walk by, the other day I saw the poster and I was like, ooh.
Oh, it's up? Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
It's a very cool poster, so I have to say that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I should mention the director is Eli Urquiza, and the two actors that play the officers are Nick Moore and Kim Larson. And Kim's a veteran of that stage, as well as Martin DeMartini. The two of them have done quite a few shows over there. And, of course, Eli, as a director, is a big man on campus in the Bay Area, so I'm very honored to be working with him as the director.
Very good. And it opens on March 28th, is that correct?
The first preview is March 28th, and then we preview the 28th and the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
The official press opening is March 30th, and then it runs through the 21st of April, I believe, and tickets can be purchased at
it's the Rhino.
Therhino.org.
Yes.
therhino.org. And the tickets are right there.
Excellent. Well, Roger, if people want to find out more about the plays that you've written and any future things that you're planning to do, how would they go about doing that?
The best way to find out all things Roger Q. Mason is to go to my Instagram. My Instagram is at Roger Q, that's Q for Quincy, my middle name, RogerQ.Mason, M-A-S-O-N. And that's where you can find all things Roger Q. Mason.
Excellent. And then for one more time for our listening audience, the show opens when and where?
The Pride of Lions opens at Theater Rhino. Official opening is March 30th, and it runs through April 21st at Theater Rhinoceros, and you can get tickets at therhino.org.
All right. Well, Roger Q. Mason, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. People of Earth, this is your opportunity. You can go check out The Pride of Lions, which is a theater rhino located at 4229 18th Street in the Castro. And in honor of that, I'm going to play a little bit from Cowboy Bebop. This is Space Lion. Isn't that lovely and calming? It's Yoko Kanno and the Seatbelts, Space Lion from the Cowboy Bebop CD box set, which may or may not be a bootleg. I don't know. I just love it. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. It's that time again. It's the last Monday of the month, which means I get to have my librarians here. And I've actually got one in person. I'm looking at her in the flesh. It's very exciting. I'd like to welcome my librarianista du jour, Colleen Umali. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. Thank you for allowing me to be here.
So before we get into the library, what made you decide to be a librarian?
I don't know. I just, I've always liked books.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that I could work at a library. So after I did teaching, I decided, oh, I could apply to be a public librarian. And I went to grad school, and I've been with the San Francisco Public Library ever since.
So at what point in your education did you realize that there was an actual like degree in libraries and that you could actually go work at a library?
It wasn't until after college.
Oh.
Because I didn't put two together.
I know that feeling. You're just like, oh, it's like librarians just sort of pop out of the foam, right?
Right.
Okay, so what do you do? What branch are you at?
I work at Bernal Heights Library.
And where is that?
It's kind of near Mission, but you go up Bernal Hill. It's tucked in. It's very cozy. You have to go up a hill.
Is it two stories?
Yes.
Oh, okay, then is. I've been there.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. We had a rehearsal there, and we were super loud. They told us to be quiet. So. But so the Bernal branch is on Mission, but up the hill, and then do each of the branches within the San Francisco Public Library system have a specialty, or is it just we're a library and we just happen to be here?
Each cater to their own community. So mm-hmm. like Western Addition caters to the Japanese community, mm-hmm. Chinatown, of course, and Excelsior has a lot of Filipino patrons.
Mm-hmm. So Bernal Heights.
Bernal Heights. We have a lot of French patrons, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes. So actually, on just last week, we had a drag queen story time. Uh-huh. They were French Canadian. So
wow.
They did a French and English story time. It was really fun.
Oh, were there lots of French speaking kids there?
A couple, yes. but most of them... just spoke English, so.
Okay, that's
so
very
we
cool.
We did both.
All right. So you have drag story time as a regular thing, or was this a one-off?
I wish. Yeah, it was just a special thing one time.
Okay. So I know you said you were in the children's section of the Bernal?
Yes, I am one of the children's librarians, mm-hmm. and I'm just downstairs because that's where the children's area is.
Mm-hmm. Now, I kind of prefer kids' books because I do, because you'll find some that are really well written. And also, too, for like informational stuff, with adults, they try to impress you by how much they know. And you'll just be sitting there like, I don't understand what I'm reading. But with
right.
a kid's book, they're trying to actually
explain.
Teach you. Yeah.
Yes. And there's pictures and mm-hmm. it's very entertaining. And you feel like, yeah, you just... It's easy to understand and very relatable.
Now, having lots of godchildren, I have noticed that children will have a passion about, like, they'll want to read all the books about, say, sharks or dinosaurs or planes or whatever like that. So in your branch, what are the popular subjects that children obsess about?
It depends by age, actually.
Okay, break it down for me.
So toddlers are really excited about trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have like a things that go section for like baby board books. So, mm-hmm. So trucks, fire trucks, any ambulance stuff is really popular.
Mm-hmm.
Space and... dinosaurs are really popular. So we have like a Dino November month. It's all dinosaurs, so everyone's excited.
Oh, that's cool.
For November.
Oh, Dino November. I get it. Okay,
yeah.
Got it. The penny drop for me.
What else? So for elementary to middle school, everyone's really into graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
So Dog Man is really popular. The Babysitter's Club. And... What else?
Captain Underpants? Is that?
Yes. Okay. That's still popular.
Okay.
Anything by him is, Dogman and Captain Underpants are by the same author.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. That totally tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm probably, since the kids I know are getting older, I'm sort of aging out of what is popular. So what's the newest thing that is sweeping the children's imaginations?
The newest thing.
Because back in the day, there was the Harry Potter stuff. There's the dog stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like it's a hit as soon as you get it. Or like the Mysterious Benedict.
Right. So, that is still pretty popular. The Wings of Fire series.
What is that?
It's a fantasy about dragons. So if they like Harry Potter and any of those, it usually is a big hit for them as well.
Okay.
Anything fantasy is good.
Got it. All right, let's talk about some of the things that you have going on at the Bernal Library for kids, because I know there are a lot of parents out there who are always looking either to bring their toddlers or just to have a place to keep their kids out of trouble.
Right. Well, okay. So we have story time. We have a lot of story time. We have one in Spanish for toddlers. We have in English. And then we also have baby story time. So for all the little ones, we have that every Wednesday. And we have family story time for all ages on Saturdays. Those are our weekly recurring programs. And then I also am doing dog reading circle.
Wait, what? You read to dogs?
No.
So dogs read to you?
Dogs are there. So it's basically for kids who want to feel more confident in reading out loud. And because I was a very shy kid, so I wish I had that. So we collaborated with SFSBCA. So each month they bring in a dog, and so they just sit there and kids read out loud, or I read out loud depending on if they're shy, and then we just have a fun time reading, and then they can pet the dog and be calm and be happy.
How long have you guys been doing that?
Last year, I believe.
I love that. So do the kids just sit there and read to the dog and show them the pictures?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
My heart's gonna burst. That sounds so adorable. It sounds adorable. All right. So when is that?
It's usually on the second Tuesday of the month. And it's in the afternoon.
Oh my God, that just sounds like if you were depressed that day, you would just go and watch them read to dogs. Oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to get through the rest of the show. So you have the kids reading to dogs. What else do you have for your patrons?
We usually try to have, this is a new thing. We collaborated with park rangers, SF Wrexham Park. And so they come once a month and they have their own theme of what they want to teach the kids. And they usually do a story time. And they do a craft.
Oh, okay. So what have been some of the themes in the past?
Last month it was the water cycle. So they talked about how water develops and turned into rain. And then they did a really cute craft where they made rain clouds out of cotton balls. It was really cute.
Oh, that's cool. Because I bet kids have questions because they don't understand, and probably most adults don't understand how water can just be suspended in air,
right,
and then suddenly it's raining. But it's all a mystery. It's all just a mystery.
Yes, please don't make me.
I'm not. I promise. I promise I won't. I'm still thinking about the children reading dogs.
Yes.
So what else happens at the Bernal Heights branch of the San Francisco Public Library?
Well, we try to change it up. So that's the recurring programs we have. We have little artists. So it's catered to like toddler age, so if they want to explore their artistic side, they can do that. Each month we do something different. So I think a couple months back we did like a huge like painting thing where they just like used the floor, and like there was like paper all over the floor, and they were like, yeah, it was really fun.
I hear that you have a Lego night coming up.
Yes. That's monthly as well. That's really fun. It's at night.
Okay.
From 6 to 7. And actually, Lowell High School, or the robotics team from Lowell High School actually volunteers. So that's really cool.
Wait. Are they building, like you're making Legos that have some sort of movement to them?
No. I don't think so.
Oh, it's like a...
Yeah, the club comes and then they help out. So
very cool.
So teens also do their community service hours.
I love, as a kid, I wanted so many Lego kits because I wanted to build like a house. But of course, my parents never obliged. What else is going on at the Bernal Heights?
We also have upcoming, we're planning for summer stride, because we plan for summer early, and then Some of the events that we have planned. Oh, we have henna coming up in April.
Oh, you mean like the painting on the
hands? Yes. So someone is going to come in and do henna for you, and you get to design your own as well.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so if you come up with a design, we can do that for your hands as well, and you also get to take a little like thing home to practice as well.
Oh, very cool, very cool. So what are the general hours for the Bernal branch?
Usually 10 to 6, except on Wednesdays we close at 8 p.m.
Oh, why does it stay open later on Wednesdays? Or is that just the like tradition or?
Yes, we want to cater to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that some people get off work late, and so we just want to have an option for them to come in after.
Okay. What is an event that happens at the Bernal branch that you wish more people knew about?
More people knew about.
Or maybe one of your favorite ones.
We have a teen librarian, and so we always want more teens coming into the library. And
okay.
So that's one of our things that we try to do. We have like a monthly teen craft program.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a couple of months ago, we were doing like a food themed, we were making like s'mores, and we were like, decorating cups and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. So we want all the teens to come and, participate and take home goodies.
Okay. And then what would you say is your most popular program at the Bernal branch?
Story time is very popular.
Okay.
We have a line out the door.
Really?
Yes.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then since you sit behind the desk in the children's section,
mm-hmm.
and here's the thing. When you're a kid, and even as an adult, you want a book. You don't remember the title. How do the librarians know what you're talking about?
We try to ask questions and say, what was the last book you read? Was there a character? Did they have any other books that this author wrote? Was it a movie as well? Stuff like that. We try to break it down and ask as many questions as they can before they're like, never mind.
Have you ever been stumped by one of the, I don't know what it's called, but it had a blah, blah, blah in it?
Yes. It's always common when they say, yes, I don't know what it's called, but I know the cover or I know the color of the book.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh. So when they say like, oh, it was a red cover, I'm like, okay. We have many red covers.
Here we go. Well, when you were a kid, what was your favorite book to read?
My favorite book was Ella Enchanted.
Ooh.
By Gail Carson Levi.
Okay. So do you recommend that to kids?
I do. It's kind of like a modern day Cinderella where she was like, I don't need anyone to help me. I can help myself.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, before we finish, I want to just like name one more program that you hope that people show up for at Bernal Heights.
Come to Dog Reading Circle.
Dog Reading Circle. And when is that again?
It's on Tuesdays.
What time about approximately?
4 o'clock, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Colleen, I want to thank you so much for coming into the coming down to the station and being on the show today.
Thank you so much.
All right. People of Earth, the library is awesome. I just can't get the image out of my head of children reading to dogs. I just, that's going to just make me so happy my entire walk home. So thank you so much for telling me about that.
Thank you. Have a good one.
So it's just about time for me to turn the mic over to Mr. Ford, who'll be pleasuring your ear hole. I'm going to leave you with one more Balthus. This is called Like Coconut Water. Until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.